we're going to read in Matthew chapter 16. You know, we're not saved by our feelings, but I'm glad I have something that I can feel. Amen. Glad I feel it. I'm glad I know it. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad that He sends His Holy Spirit in His hand to let me know that I'm saved. Sometimes that's the way He blesses me and He pours out His blessings on me. Sometimes that's the way He corrects me. See, the correction of God means that He loves you. I love my boys. I love my daughter. I love my grandsons. You imagine your grandchildren walking up about to stick their hand on the stove and you just letting them say, well, they'll learn. I've heard people say, well, they'll learn. I don't want them to learn that way. God loves you, and He don't want you to learn that way either. Amen. If you got your Bible, we're going to talk this morning about the Church of Jesus Christ. Folks, I love church. I still love church. I love going to church. I love being with the people of God. And I'm going to read here in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13 to 18. Just try to follow the Lord. I'll try not to preach too long. God's already been here. He's already here. But I'll just try to share with you some things that are on my heart. But it says here in the 13th verse, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And I want to concentrate on that latter part of that statement, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, some people say that that's a statement to say that the Pope, that Peter was the first Pope, but now y'all know better than that. I don't even have to tell y'all, okay? It's the statement. It's upon this element of faith and believing who Jesus Christ is and professing who He is, that's what the church was built on. You see, it was built on faith and it was built on belief. And the word rock, it represents, if you understand when you read through the Word of God, the foundation. The foundation is built on faith. It's built on faith in Christ, that there is none other. And by definition, here's some things about the church. It is the company of all Christians regarded as a mystic spiritual body. Now you listen to that and you say, well, I don't know if I like that definition. Folks, every now and then, you got to look at the dictionary to see what the philosophers are thinking. Now, they call us a mystic spiritual body, but the truth is we are a spiritual body. We're born again into the family of God as the children of God, and we're linked together by Christ. Okay, so there's an element of truth in that, even though those that wrote that may not have even understood what they were writing about. Okay? And then I found this definition. This is really what I want to concentrate on. It said the church is the structure of truth and of love. Yeah. Now, when I read that one, I liked it. I began to think about it, and I thought about what it meant, that the church is the structure of truth and love. And I want to spend just a few minutes this morning talking about that and looking at that. You know, if you go to John chapter number 18, we find where Jesus was before Pilate. And as Jesus stood before Pilate and He questioned him and He began to talk to him and Jesus spoke to him. And I want to read just a couple of verses to you. And I want to go down to the 33rd verse and see what the context of the scripture was as Jesus was there before Pilate. It said, and then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. But Pilate said unto him, What is truth? Now, see, I believe that the church is the structure of truth. But if you look at the statement there, or the question of Pilate, he asked her the question, What is truth? This is where we're at in our nation today, because the most educated, the most elite, those that you would look to be the leaders, oftentimes they struggle with really understanding and knowing what truth is. They try to look at it, they try to understand it, and even come up with a philosophy that's become a religion to where people practice whatever is truth to you is true. And it could be truth to you, but it doesn't mean that it's truth to me. But I want to tell you something, that's not true. You see, I believe the Bible. You can say, well, you can believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible. Well, you don't have to believe the Bible. I like what Joshua said when he said, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You see, I choose to serve the Lord, and we have come together as that body of Christians together to serve the Lord. And here's what the Bible says about truth. You see, the Bible teaches us that truth is what Jesus is, and that Jesus is truth. And I want to give you some scripture. I've got a lot of verses. I want to read these to you. This is John chapter 8, verse number 32 says this, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It'll make you free. Then in John 8, 36, it says, If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay, so let's consider this. When you put those true verses together, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. You get the math on that, that Jesus is truth. Okay?
Right.
Now, we're going to give you some more verses for that, but here's what I want you to see. Truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. You got to get a hold of that. Because it says this in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, What? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Okay, so if truth is a person, Jesus said, I am the truth. All ultimate truth is found in Jesus Christ. Let me give you another verse. This is John chapter 1, verse number 14. It said, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Jesus spoke to Pilate, and He said, Thou sayest. In other words, basically, yes, Jesus was saying, Yes, I am a king. But it's not time for me to be a king, because I came into the world so that the whole world might have life and be able to be saved. And then He said, These words I say unto you, they are truth. And Pilate said, What is truth? You know, people are asking the question today. They say, What can I believe? Who can I believe? Because there are so many different messages. I'll tell you something that hasn't changed. Folks, this hasn't changed. You know, a lot of the philosophies you see and you hear, they've changed. You know that some of our Ivy League universities today, particularly Harvard, where it's supposed to be, oh, if you go to Harvard, let me tell you something. Harvard started out as a Christian college. It was a place that practiced Jesus Christ teaching, but today it's drifted so farther away from that that their whole element is they say truth. But how can you have truth without Christ? You cannot have truth without Christ. And the church of Jesus Christ is built on truth. Its foundation is truth. Now, I got another definition for you here. This is from the dictionary as well. It's truth. What is truth? And this is what it is. It is fidelity to an original or a standard. Now, get a hold of that. Some things haven't changed. Some things have. The way this country is marching has changed. What people believe about the Constitution, the foundations in this country, they've changed. But the original or the standard has not changed. And here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is the original, okay? He is the origin of all things that are in existence. And I'll give you a verse for that. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through the first part of the 18th verse. It says, "For by him," this is speaking of Jesus Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, that is visible, that is invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things exist, and he is the head of the body, the church." Now, here's the truth. The truth is Jesus. The truth is what Jesus is. The truth is in Jesus, okay? Now, truth is defined by the very nature and the very person of God. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Sometimes people kind of got this mindset, when you preach, you ought to stay out of the Old Testament. Can I tell you that the Old Testament is just a precursor that points us to Christ? And if you understand the pictures and you understand the types in the Old Testament, there's a whole lot of good preaching in there, okay? This is Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 4. It says this, "He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Now, if that's not a picture of Jesus, I don't know what is. Now, listen to this. Truth is not something that Jesus measures up to. You get that? That's what I want to do. Sometimes when I look at myself and I look at my needs as a person, I want to tell you something. The more I see Christ, the less I see me. If you just read your Bible and you'll read the writings of Paul, what you'll find is the closer that Paul got to God and the more that he understood, the more he realized and recognized his own sinfulness. You see, the measure is not something that Jesus measures up to, because truth is what Jesus is, okay? Truth is not something necessarily that Jesus announces. You say, well, doesn't Jesus speak truth? Yes, he does. But remember, Jesus is truth, okay? Truth is not something that Jesus decides. Truth is what Jesus is. Jesus is truth. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And then the words after that said, "No man cometh unto the Father except by me." I don't want to see anything glorified that's glorified without Jesus. You know, because what I think happens is you see that people are trying to find a way, they're trying to find a path, and they're trying to find truth that's outside of God's truth. Here's what I want you to understand. You cannot be good enough on your own. It is impossible. And I cannot find truth without Christ. Because every other standard, every other measure that you look at, it changes. It changes. And it changes. Our textbooks are changing. Our laws are changing. What people perceive as being right and wrong, it is definitely changing. Where people stand and what people call out as being the right path, it is changing. But God's not changed. Right. How many of you, if you look back over your life, you can remember people and you can remember where they stood and you can remember where they were and you thought, I never thought I'd see that person change, but they changed. Can I tell you something? God has not changed. Okay? He is truth. Let's look at this second one real quickly. If the church is the structure of truth and love, consider the structure of love. You know, in John chapter 21, three different times, the Lord is talking to Peter and he's telling him, he's asking him, he said, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these?" And he looks at Jesus and he says unto him, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus spoke to him and he said, "Feed my sheep." He asked him again, "Do you love me?" And he said, you know I love you, Lord. He said, well, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. You know, as Jesus is speaking to Peter, he's asking him, do you love me? And a lot of times here's what we say, oh, Lord, you know I love you. We just showed a video of a little village where people are living in cardboard houses, digging into garbage for things that they can redeem and sell just to be able to live, or find that they can eat for themselves. You know, when I see that and I look around me at the world today, I know there's a lot going on in the world, folks. I know everywhere you go, there are panhandlers and there are people, and it's to the point that you got to be careful where your family goes by themselves. There's a lot of things going on, but here's something God has given us. God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us. And that Holy Spirit, if it's in us, and this is what I do. When I walk past somebody and I see them a lot, they're telling me something that's going on in their life. I don't look at them first. I immediately am praying, God, help me to know what you want me to do. Because I do not want to walk past somebody that has been put there by God that I'm supposed to do something about and not do what I'm supposed to do. Now, folks, let me tell you, everybody's not put there by God. But if you know Christ, you know Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. And we ask him to guide us. You know what the Lord's trying to tell Peter? He said, Peter, if you really love me, you're supposed to love them. That's what people miss sometimes. You know, they think it's something that's just for some people and not for them, but that's not true. I want God to guide me because I don't want to go through my life living in my little vacuum, in my little tunnel as my Christian self. You know, it's kind of like those that are in that group. I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't run with those that do. I put on my best and I go to church every Sunday morning. But God forbid that you ever ask me to do anything for anybody. I don't want to be that way. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit and be what God wants me to be and be the man that God wants me to be. And you know, when I get real about that and I start praying like David did, where he said, search me, O God, and try me and know my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. Sometimes, let's just get real, I don't like what God shows me. You see, the church is the structure of love. Here's why we love Christ. We love him because he first loved us. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says this, and God had to show me this as an extreme introvert. Y'all don't believe that, but when I preach, but it's true. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Amen. Have you ever had anybody just be so kind to you that they're good to you? Every time they see you, they want to help you. If you need something, they send it. We got a few people in this church like that. You know what? You can't help but like them. You can't help but want to help them. When you hear that they have a need, you can't help but want to be a part of meeting that need. You know why? Because they loved you first. Now, when I look at Jesus Christ, I don't look at him and just love him first. I love him because he first loved me. You see, because people, when they saw him there as he was standing in Jerusalem, most of them said, away with him, away with him. Give us Barabbas. And then when Jesus was trying to be presented back to them because he had done nothing wrong, they stood up and said, well, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And it was. You know, when I look at Jesus, don't look at that crowd and say, well, they were bad. Have you ever imagined yourself in the crowd? Maybe standing in the back of the crowd as Jesus was treated the way he was treated. Maybe standing around the fire pot when Peter was there and they were questioning him, weren't you with him? Surely your speech betrays you. You see, the truth is, in the generation that you and I are living in today, we can come into the house of God on Sunday morning and we can praise God and we can worship and we can sing God's songs, but we're going to go to jobs where a lot of people don't believe in God. We're going to go to school where a lot of people don't believe in God. We're going to have friend groups and we're going to be in places where people don't believe in God. And we're going to have to stand on truth. And we're going to have to share love. And when I look at Jesus, I love him because he first loved me. I just have to be honest, but he sure has loved me. He's forgiven me. He's accepted me like I am. You know, sometimes with people, Jesus trying to get the message to Peter, he said, if you love me, you need to love them. Can you imagine being Peter? But Lord, look at them. They've not done right. They've not acted right. I was here working and they weren't here with me. I was there crying out and they weren't crying out with me. I was trying to do my best and they weren't doing anything, Lord. He said, they're my sheep. They're my lambs. If you love me, you got to love them. See, Jesus gave us the example. He gave it to us. And I want to read this and I'll try to close. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made obedient, and was made in the likeness of Christ. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Remember what he said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would come and fight. But here's what God did for us. He became obedient to death, took upon him the form, the fashion of a man, and came and died in my place. That's how much he loved me. So that's the example that he gave. And he said, for us to not look every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then I want to read just a couple of verses and we'll get a song. But this is in the New Testament, going back to the book of John. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Then in John 15:9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue in my love. And then John 15:12, he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's tough. It's tough for me. But here's what else I want to share with you. Jesus has given us the ability. You say, well, how can I do that? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, that's why sometimes it's sad but true that the persecution of the church causes the church to grow. Why? Because as the church is persecuted, Christians that know God, it's almost like telling somebody that knows Jesus to deny Jesus. If you're really saved and you know him, you know he's real. And just because somebody tells you to deny him or you can't worship him, it just makes your heart long for him even more. See, God's put something inside of us that's not of us. And when we listen to his Holy Spirit, he has the ability to pull it out. Again, remember, it's not about you. You say, well, how am I going to love people? I'm just not a loving person. That's why you got to get saved. I'm not up here because I'm a good person. I'm up here because of what he's done for me. And when he comes along with his Holy Spirit and he speaks to me, guess what he does? He changes me. Ask yourself the question. I love being in church. What can we find in church? What do we need from church? As we give a song in just a minute, what do you think about when you come to church? You think about a Savior. I need my Savior. You think about forgiveness. I need forgiveness. I needed forgiveness to be saved, but I need forgiveness for this week. How about peace? Have peace with God being saved, but don't you want to lay down at night and put your head on the pillow and be right with God? Amen. You know, the Bible says to let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You want to lay down at night and be at peace with God, at peace with the people in your house? What about grace? You want grace in your life? You want God to be able to pour something out on you that'll help you? Sometimes I just need it. I've talked to people about it. You ever had times, seems like you're going through it, and you're going through it, and you're going through it, and you just look up to heaven, and you say, God, I just need some grace. What about understanding? A lot of questions. All the stuff going on. Understanding about life, about eternity, about, you know, it doesn't matter that, you know, you get to be 50, 60 years old, and you lose your parents. You question. You lose your loved ones, you question. You lose a child, you really question. You're trying to serve God, and the people you're trying to serve God with get sick, and you say, God, why can't we just work together and stay till Jesus comes? You question. How about help? You need help. You come in, you got a heavy heart, you go to the altar. You need somebody that can come pray with you. Now, God understands. But the Bible says this about help. God says that he comforts us wherewith we may comfort others. Right. You know somebody's going through something and you've been there, you may be the one that can help them. What about mercy? You ever need mercy? I need mercy. And more than just when the state patrol's behind me. I need mercy. Do you ever feel like as a Christian trying to serve God, trying to do right, trying to come and be what God wants you to be, there's this pressure on you and a stigma that you can't fail, but you do? Don't quit. Don't quit. Just ask the Lord for his mercy and walk on. He'll give it to you. What about fellowship? We're going to give a song in just a minute. And I'll tell you something, folks. If one comes, four ought to come. Because one can be praying about their burden, and three can be bearing that burden. Amen. That's what the church is. We have fellowship because we're friends, but we have fellowship because we're family. And here's the most important thing of all, is worship. We worship because he is worthy. Amen. We talked about the structure of truth. Remember, he's not changed. He has not failed. And he loved us when we were at our very, very worst. Amen. Would you please rise to your feet? If God has spoke to your heart, what'd you come to church for this morning? I want to be fed. I want God to give me something to make it through the week. But what are you carrying that you'd just like to lay down at Jesus' feet? Or maybe even what are you wanting to come and just thank God for this morning? Just say, I want to come. And thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Yes. As they sing this song is played, if you'd like to pray, would you please come?